Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Unknown Zone. This is the talk show about the unusual. I'm your host, Dave Turco, with co-host Judy Sellens. And tonight, folks, we're going to be talking about underground tunnels around the world. The where, the why, and the who. It's really something. Again, because, well, we call it the Unknown Zone for a reason, because these things tend not to be talked about. It's really quite extraordinary. And, you know, it's almost like a joke. You know, scientists referred to early humans as cavemen. Don't you think it would have been a little bit more accurate if they referred to them as tunnel men? After all, Where are all those caves we lived in? Where are they? It's like, you know, the Flintstones and everything, but where are all those caves? There are only so many caves in the world. There weren't enough caves for people to live in.
Well,
the
interesting thing is, David, that some of these complexes, they were completely finished off inside with walkways and walls and everything else, so that these people could actually go down and each family could like have a like a little apartment.
I mean
look at the ones off of the coast of Italy. I mean, in during World War II, a lot of the Italian people went and stayed inside those things. Mm-hmm. And it really protected them from the Nazis and everybody else, you know. And they could actually cook in those. They would have like a room for each person or a family or whatever. And they would cook over these little stoves. And they had air shafts and they had water. They had these wells inside. I mean, somebody planned them all out.
Right.
So.
Yeah, if
then
not,
I got studying.
They definitely had air shafts, so they had ventilation systems and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had good air in there. And so the smoke just went straight out. I mean, it didn't, you would think that it could asphyxiate people being down in there, but it just didn't. So after finding that and then again finding more complexes even throughout the United States, I'm thinking – almost all of these are saying they're about 12,000 years old. And, you know, one of the things that we can get into tonight is why were there such a big rush to go underground to live through something or other that was a threat to them, evidently? It wasn't just enemies. And why did they seem to do this right around 12,000 years ago?
Correct.
And so, you know, I was in on that, and I thought, this is really pretty interesting.
Sure is. So. And it does all coincide with the last ice age.
Mm-hmm.
It's real fascinating. And then also, you know, because in the conspiracy theory world, if you can even call it that, why be defined by that? In the what's actually going on world, not what the mainstream media crap were fed about.
What's
really happening?
Yeah.
There are tunnel systems. Again, people repeat history. We go in cycles. And we're really going to flesh this stuff out that happened around the end and during the last ice age and what was going on then and why.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been times since then. And we'll mention them because some of them are just so stunningly beautiful that I think most people don't know about. Thousands of years ago, these things were so skillfully made. I'd live in them. They're basically equal to a house.
You can still go down in them today.
Yeah, and unlike these houses,
they're that sound to be in. They're not like an old cave that's falling in on you.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
I mean,
they're
these were really crafted and created all over the Middle East. They were all over Europe. You have them. South America had them. We've got them here in the United States. They were everywhere.
Yes. Yeah, they were absolutely everywhere. more currently, though, because, you know, in the paranormal field, there have been these weird sounds throughout the world. Where are they coming from? Some of it's definitely linked to, and there are beyond rumors. We know that the U.S. government has and military have been making vast underground tunnel systems that span the entire United States. There are theories out there that it even goes under oceans and connects it to Australia. Don't know that. But nothing would surprise me. Hey, they've got to be doing something with our taxpayer dollars because it's not helping us. It's not going to us. It's going somewhere.
Well, you know, this kind of also connects up, David, to when we did the show on the hollow earth.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, it just kind of shows you that there is an ability to have a hollow earth or have all these tunnels connect up with one another. I mean, they're not all just small tunnels. Some of them But some of them are regular. I mean, they used to bring the livestock down into these tunnels to protect them.
Yeah, it's the whole thing's extraordinary how vast it all is.
Yeah.
But, But so we know that the elites have tunnel systems. You know, when the whole thing goes to pot, they'll be safe. We're not, supposedly. Iron Mountain, take your pick.
You can go to Russia because they've dug underneath that Ural Mountain range, and they have created a massive system that's even got railroad tracks and everything in there.
Well, supposedly,
and people can go down there, and actually they'll be able to live and stay down there for an indefinite period of time because they have air filters and everything on the shafts. Unlike years ago when they didn't have things like that, they have got some pretty pretty complex systems. So, yeah, I mean, if you think you're going to be attacked by gremlins or, you know, God forbid, it could be a meteorite or a meteor disaster or something headed our way. Maybe that's why some of them did. There was a meteor, that showered down for a long time on the Earth, and they don't know if maybe these people actually... I mean, look at the knowledge of people with space that were, you know, I mean, we have people today that can't figure out space. And yet you had these people who were supposed to be cave dwellers and all that. And they knew probably more than some of the people today actually know about space and what was going on out there.
Right.
So you could have an asteroid, you could have anything. And, you know, like the one in, the big one in Turkey, there are multiple numbers of doors that lead to the outside. So that if, God forbid, something happened, people still had a way to escape all different areas of it.
Right.
And, you know, I just find it really fascinating. So
it's beyond fascinating. But you know, trying to figure out what the heck went on, one of the big clues that came up was the recent discovery happened, I believe, actually just in the 90s and started to get excavated was Göbekli Tepe.
In
Turkey, right? So they figured out, just like a lot of these things, almost like the Dead Sea Scrolls, a lot of times it's just local yokels that find something or look like, I've been walking here forever and there's a hole over there? I wonder what that is. Gosh, it makes you wonder about some of these sinkholes, Judy. Maybe it's just openings to these tunnel systems. These ancient tunnel systems. Because it's nonsense about, well, it's because there was a, what did they say? Limestone, and under the limestone was a river. And that just wore away at it. There are sinkholes and mammoth holes that have opened up in the earth that had no limestone or anything or any river under it. And they can't understand it.
And could, all the soil is gone.
Yes. So could it just be it's sort of imploding into this massive tunnel system throughout the world? Anyhow, Dr. Robert Schock, spelled S-C-H-O-C-H, he's a geologist from Boston University. And he's also very interested in the paranormal, parapsychological, or whatever you will. Basically, ancient history, he doesn't believe is what we pretend it is. And he believes through geology, so the true study, scientific study of geology, something massive happened 15,000 to 11,000 years ago on Earth. And it was climactic, huge climactic fluctuations. Didn't have to do with man-made climate change, but it was massive climate change. It had been extremely cold with continental glaciers extending much further than they do today, quite obviously, especially in the northern hemisphere, but really, you know, everywhere. However, temperatures suddenly reverted back, and there was a short, short cold spell known as the Younger Dryas, pretty famous if you watch the Weather Channel, before the final warming and the official end of the last ice age. Based on Greenland ice core data, the Younger Dryas began and ended very abruptly. It started dates to 10,900 BC, so that is almost 13,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it ended 9,700 BC, so it lasted a little over, about 1,200 years. And this change may have occurred from basically an ice age to basically the conditions we have now in 3 years.
Right.
So they were like, how could it possibly happen this quickly? And so what he has come up with is basically looking at the sun and, you know, the cosmos, what the heck happened. Speculated about comets hitting deep oceans that were responsible, and a comet might break the thin oceanic crust, releasing heat from, you know, the magma or something like that. But what he ended up thinking basically was, and he found this out basically by studying the Easter Islanders, Easter Island script. Remember, we did this on one of the shows. Remember Rongo Rongo? Remember that weird script they had?
And once again, another group of people who would go underground with any kind of threats. They had underground areas where they would just go and stay underground.
Correct. And, yeah, the whole Easter Island thing. But just like a lot of these ancient people, whether it was in Turkey, whether it was in China, the Native Americans, the people on Easter Island, they knew a lot more than what we think of as primitive man, right? Well, they wrote about the fourth state of matter, plasma. And this plasma consists of electrically charged particles. Okay, this, you know, think of a plasma. They call it plasma vortex. You know, just it's like fire, but it's not. It's just so hot, whatever. And or think of like aurora borealis, something like that, right? And there's an atmospheric phenomena known as sprites. That's all plasma, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started to think about, okay, if that was the case, what could cause these plasma events? And it took him to like solar outbursts, coronal mass ejections from the sun, and or emissions from celestial objects. It's hard to know exactly what it was, but this is where he went. And then he started to look at petroglyphs around the world.
Mm-hmm.
In the petroglyphs, he believes that it shows what would be a clear representation of plasma events that were happening, obviously, in the sky. But this thing would have been, they were so powerful then that it was not just in the sky like an aurora borealis when there's a coronal mass ejection or something like that. Mm-hmm. These things were so massive that they whammed onto the Earth itself, and it ended up incredibly, heating the Earth and just breaking the whole cycle of that ice age. Thing is, when these, as nice as the end result was, because there was so much ice everywhere, plasma hitting the surface of the Earth could heat and fuse rock, incinerate flammable materials, melt ice caps, vaporize shallow valleys of water, creating an extended deluge of rain. Okay, just think of pouring rain as hard as you could think of in the tropics. And that just went on for years.
Well, it kind of fits with the thought that a lot of them have, that something happened with our oceans and they became
yeah.
less saline because of all the ice melting?
All the ice melt. Think about this. These were thousands of meters thick ice sheets
yeah.
that simply melted within years. So it actually created a whole world in chaos. And he believes that the ending plasma event, which was 9700 BC, so that's 11,700 years ago, essentially.
Yeah.
Eradicated, he believes that there were, because he studied this, advanced civilizations and high cultures, and it basically mm-hmm. wiped it out. I mean, we're not, people survived, obviously, because here we are. But by and large, most of them got wiped out. And what happened
well, if
was...
What happened today?
Hmm?
I mean, look at how many people in the world would be just completely annihilated.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
You know, we think we're advanced.
Oh, yeah. He believes that the people back then were actually, you know, there are like these myths about the Golden Age and these superior beings and stuff like that. He thinks it all has to do with this. Radiation emanating from the plasma may have affected mental and psychical abilities. You know, physicists talk about this all the time. That and just what yogis used to talk about, and they probably still do. Depending on where we are in the galaxy,
mm-hmm.
how close we are to the central sun, we not only have a solar system where there's the sun and there are planets revolving around it. The Earth is one of which in our solar system, right? Well, all the stars that you see are solar systems because they're the stars and they have their own little planets where they may not have life on them. Doesn't really matter. But in the same way that we have a solar system in our galaxy, by the way, we're very much on the edge of the galaxy. We're like Pluto in a sense. If you looked at our galaxy was our solar system, and the central sun, which is endlessly more powerful than the our sun is, because the central sun of our galaxy. Every galaxy has a central sun. It's just how it works. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a galaxy. So anyhow, supposedly, you know, again, that's heat, that's radiation. According to the yogis, they said the closer you are and the closer Earth gets as it rotates, and that's where they get these long cycles. When we're way out there, humans become ignorant. And when they're closer, intelligence increases. It's like, you know, look at the symbology, you know. The closer you are to light, the more enlightened you are. And mm-hmm. so with this, he believes that that's when humans became extremely intelligent, had, you know, all sorts of telekinetic powers, clairvoyance, clairaudience, all this sort of stuff. And mental abilities far surpassing what came after. And he also believes that this is the basis of the Atlantean legends, which he doesn't think are legends. I mean, made up. He thinks that they're true. He thinks that these sorts of, you could call it a natural event, happen, but it actually enlightened humans. But this plasma and electrical discharge, he believes this is the overwhelming evidence now that what happened. And there are examples all over the place of Earth where there is vitrification, which is the melting into crude glass of stone.
Oh, yeah.
Stone
yeah.
structures seen all over the world, from Hillfort in Scotland to, you know, in South Pacific. You can find these things. If you know what you're looking for, you actually find them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when these people started to seek shelter in caves, under cliffs, and started to go underground.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he believes Göbekli Tepe, and they, you know, again, geologists know that was purposely buried. It's not just like earth over time, it was sand. They know where they got the sand because you can, everything has a trace. Like, if we had sand here at our beaches, it's not the same sand chemically as the West Coast, or even in Florida, let alone in China, that sort of thing. It all has a breakdown chemically of you know, what it is, how much silica, how much this, how much that it has. So it has a fingerprint. It's like a DNA trace. And they know that this was purposely buried. Somehow, you know, these people knew what was going on. And for them to survive, had to go underground. So that's what his theory is. And that's what caused these humongous cataclysms that we know actually did happen.
Yeah.
We're going to happen at any time. And again, everything's cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Roughly, there's a 26,000 year cycle, but the like, depending really. So it would be closer to 13,000 years, would be half. But think about it. We're getting to about 13,000 years from the last one.
Right. And what we're going through right now between climate and all the things and ice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ice melting and even the oceans becoming, you know, less saline. They're doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed at the animals that became extinct. You're talking about a mega fauna that were like giant bears and giant sloths and all these gigantic animals that you think could withstand just about anything. I mean, the bears and sloths had fur and everything. You think they would have been able to survive, you know, a cold spell or whatever, but they couldn't.
Right.
And even the United States, you know, where we are now, or North America, the different animals that used to exist here, some that we never even knew existed here, were found. They found the skeletons, and when they studied the DNA out of the bones and the teeth, they found that these were animals we never even knew existed.
Yep.
And so you've got that going on all over the earth. In these places, they find animals that were just extinguished. I mean, if they were, I would imagine if they were their horse or their sheep or whatever, they would bring them in to be protected. Why else would they bring them in?
Right.
And so they would bring these creatures in, but these gigantic big things, they couldn't do anything for them. They were wild to begin with. So they were just wiped out. They were totally eradicated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, you know, that to me, that is kind of on the cool side of it all. I mean, down in South America, there were a lot of huge, gigantic animals that were just destroyed because of what was going on at the time. And then, you know, it was amazing that these people survived it, but they seemed to sense to get away from what was going on, and the only place they could get away from it was to go deep. And in some of these places, they used to think that these shafts and these places were, you know, like walkways or paths or something into the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some of the places, they did find, you know, like burial areas where the people had been actually buried down there. But for the most part, they didn't. They just found empty apartments, and you have to call them apartments because that's what they friggin' look like, is apartments. And,
right.
You know, these stairwells and all of this stuff. It's so elaborate. I mean, they even had schools underground. They had places to worship, so they had to be God-fearing. And so they had those places where they could worship and and meeting rooms and everything where I guess you get tired of staying in your little apartment cubicle, whatever it was, then you could always go out and go down to these bigger places and sit and talk with people or whatever. But yeah, they would literally stay in these places for long periods of time. And I had seen before they had some underground places that they thought were these fish like reservoirs where they would, where they thought that they kept fish for the tribes and everything, and because they were filled with water. So there was this one guy, and I think it was in Asia, and he went down and he decided he was going to suck all the water and see what was down there. And he did, and it was gigantic, David. Some of these things, they had one on TV over the weekend. It's 11 stories tall. And they were just the pillars of the inside of it. They were, and you look at the people standing down below it, they were tiny compared to these. And when you were just looking at it, you think, well, that doesn't look that big. But when you saw the people, you realize that they were right. And they must have been beautiful at one time, because you can see where they had done carvings all over the walls and the ceilings. And it looked like, from what they were studying on especially one of these, that it had been machine dug out. They feel that it was done by machines, and all of the scrapings matched the next panel of scrapings that you would see. So everything was like little grooves and everything. I mean, just gorgeous stuff with these giant things attached to the wall that I guess they used to put oil or whatever in and light so they could see, because, of course, they were in darkness. But they were beautiful. There were paintings all over the walls, the ceilings, the walls, everything. And so I think, you know, it shows that these, whoever did this, were highly intelligent. And then when he got finished finding this one place and cleaning it all out, they didn't find any fish in it at all. And so they went to others, and there were like several of them, and they were exactly spaced apart and everything. None of them had fish in them. But they don't know why they were filled with water.
Oh, okay, so did they ever speculate, since there were no fish, what they thought it could have been?
Unless it was, you know, for water, but they wouldn't have decorated it the way that they did and then just filled it with water. It didn't make any sense. So they're thinking that these were places where the people would go for, and they could go down in there, and you could store a lot of people in these gigantic rooms that they had. But yeah, these huge pillars. And in some of the places that had these kinds of pillars, they might have been like three stories tall. But for these, they were huge.
Wow.
And so yeah, when I got looking at that, I'm thinking, I got to see what they're talking about. So that's when I went online and I studied the one, and I'm thinking, this is really remarkable that they could build that. Where did they put the dirt? And it was solid stone. How did they chisel out all that stone and remove it?
Right.
Where did they put it all? They've never found scraps of stone anywhere. Where is it? I mean, it's just amazing. It really is.
Oh, my God, yeah. The whole thing is amazing. Absolutely. It just blows my mind that these things are there. But it's just like, as I was talking about Robert Schock's work.
Mm-hmm.
He is absolutely convinced that basically what happened was you had these advanced people, may have even become more advanced because of being exposed to the high radiation and plasma, basically activating them. But because it caused such cataclysms around the world, people basically went underground, and those who didn't were destroyed. And so basically it threw the world into a dark age for literally thousands of years, only to reemerge basically really about 4,000 or 5,000 years after the event. That it threw the world in so much turmoil. Most of the people that were living on the planet were actually living in the planet. And somehow they survived. Our ancestors survived.
And when those people came out, for the most part, they became farmers of agriculture.
Right.
They actually started to plant things and grow things. Where did they learn that from being stuck under the ground?
Right. Good question.
But they did. They grew things, and that's where that was the first time that they had started to create things like cereal.
Right.
And they all seemed to do around the same time.
Yep. Somehow, some way, it was all the same time. Clearly, it was climactic, and it's simply easier to live above the surface rather than below it, for all the obvious reasons. Yet, for thousands of years, the bulk of humanity stayed underground. Didn't mean they didn't come out, obviously, that they were. But it really wasn't that much. A vast amount of humanity actually had gone underground, stayed there pretty much for thousands of years. And I don't know, maybe 6,000 years ago, rather. 5,000 to 6,000 years ago, anyway, was when things really started to happen and current history basically began. And
these Christian groups believe that the earth was only a few thousand years old.
Well, there you go. You know, perfect, Judith. That's what they could even mean by that when they say the earth is 6,000 years old.
That's the first time they really stepped out and stayed out.
Yeah.
Of the core of the earth.
And what does that also coincide with exactly? First of all, you have the flood stories, right? So
yeah.
You have all the melting that was preceded, basically our history. That was all part of the origins of the whole thing.
And all cultures talk of floods.
Right. You have the Native Americans, mostly the Hopi, bringing that information out when they were talking about the different ages that Earth has gone through. And we just ended the fourth world then. And we're in the fifth world now, or are we in the fourth world?
I think we were in the fourth world. Aren't we? I don't know. I think we might be actually in the fifth world or starting the fifth.
Well, whichever one we're in, the thing is, they distinctly say every period has a beginning and an end.
Mm-hmm.
And the end can be because of fire, which I think might have been the last one, correct? No, that was water. Had to be the flood, right? Yeah, so water was the last one, even if it was caused by fire with the plasma. And that's how it was recorded. And, of course, what did the Hopi say? That's when we came from where? Out of the earth. Even the Native Americans and the ancestors of the Hopis all had gone underground. And eventually, after thousands of years, somehow they all knew when to come out. And, like I said, I'm sure they had people venturing out. Because how did they get enough to eat underground? And the whole thing's extremely fascinating.
Well, a lot of them, like when you get out into Turkey and the Middle East and all that, they raised animals in underground. But during the daytime, if it was safe, I would imagine they could take them out to graze or do whatever, and just to get them out. They would bring their horses down there. And yet, you've got to stop and think. They got to eat more than just meat.
Right.
So what were they growing down there? I mean, did they have the ability to grow under the ground?
I really don't see how.
There wouldn't have been enough
light. I know that they had a lot of chefs, but I just don't see it. Without a complex mirror system, I don't know. I know that they channeled water through there. In the mountains of Bosnia, which some of them aren't mountains at all, as it turns out, they are pyramids.
Yeah.
And they have chambers throughout them, and they also have diverted, or they even think of sort of like man-made, these channels, these rivers that go underground into these pyramids, on the underground pyramids, and would have been a fresh water supply for these people, and they definitely lived under there. I mean, how elaborate is, just Google that, folks. Bosnian pyramids. Unbelievable. It's right there under your nose. I remember when mainstream media tried to say, it's just is like a pyramidal shaped mountain.
Yeah,
right. Until you go in and you start to see how they were made and what they did with them. I'm not saying that they didn't take advantage of a natural pyramidal like mountain. They probably did, but it's incredible. There's so much more going on to Earth than our sort of candy-coated history.
Once again, David, there's this whole thing about the pyramids, okay? They were all over the world. They formed a grid around the world. And, I mean, how old are those things? And they formed a grid around the entire world as an energy source. And
right.
So there had to be a way that these people could connect with one another, whether they were going through tunnel systems or whatever to connect. Because we've talked about that with the Aztecs and everything. How did the Greeks and the Romans know about the Aztecs? Well, maybe they had ways of going underground to get to all these places. They didn't need to cross the sea at all. They could just go underneath and they knew how to do this. But it comes out to they all knew the same kind of stuff at the same time. They created these pyramids that were all on the same kind of ley lines. Everything matches around the world.
Yep.
Everything matches. They somehow had a way to connect with one another and let each other know what was going on and what was about to happen.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous we say they're just primitives. Well, hello, they did these things. These pyramids were everywhere.
Right.
And
yes, they were. They absolutely were everywhere.
So they had some sort of a way, some sort of a connection, and some sort of manner that they could actually connect up with each other, and they understood each other enough to be able to follow the same type of directions, whether it was going underground or whether it was these pyramids or whatever. The cultures, if you study them, the cultures end up being so freaking similar.
Yeah.
And yet they're so different. In many ways, they're very different. And in other ways, they're very, very similar in what they knew, understood, whether it was the galaxies or any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, when you get into it, it's like, you just find this whole thing amazing, and then you begin to understand that these people could contact each other somehow. They knew, I mean, look at when they dug up some of the tunnel walkways that were connected to the Mayan pyramids that they had built.
Mm-hmm.
They found out that they were made, the walkways and the walls of those tunnels to get in and out of it were actually made with Roman tiles.
That's right.
So how do they know where to go get those? I think we just take too much for granted that, they were just primitives. They didn't know, they didn't know Jack, and we're smarter than they were. And well, guess what, folks? We're about in the same situation even today as they were 12,000 years ago.
Mm.
With the way the Earth is right now, we're about in the same boat. And yet, I don't see anybody around here too worried unless we're going to send our politicians underneath into these bunkers and protect them. The rest of us, they could care less about.
Yeah. Familiar story there.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be when the old caca hits the fan, we're the ones that's going to get splattered.
Oh, my God, yeah.
They're going to be sitting underground having a party and playing cards.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Such is the way. But anyway, some of these other places was I found real fascinating. This is 5,000 years ago, I guess. Yeah. I'm not even sure how you pronounce it. Annie. Ani, A-N-I is the spelling. It's an ancient city in Armenia, right on the, of course, Turkish border, 5,000 years ago. There are these massive, awesome, gorgeous underground tunnels, and it was considered a Mesopotamian cult of Ani, A-N-I, A-N-I, I'll call it. Anyhow, it is an amazing story. Again, I don't know why these things aren't taught more often, because again, archaeologists do actually look at these things. And anyhow, Ani was known as the city of 1,001 churches and the city of 40 gates. At its peak, it rivaled the cities of Constantinople, Baghdad, and Cairo, both in size and influence. This is a major place. And again, it's one of these things where in the 1800s, 1880s, that underground Ani, as it's known, was first discovered. And it was by a guy named George Ivanovich. He spent his time in that part of the world as a kid. And they were just like digging around until they found it. They eventually came across this narrow tunnel, which led to secret water chambers, undiscovered monk cells, meditation rooms, huge corridors, intricate tunnels, traps, and corners, all found under the city. And these people had no idea it was there. Absolutely amazing. And they actually found some parchment with an ancient Armenian language on it. And they were able to translate it. It was like this. Our worthy father, Telvant, has at last succeeded in learning the truth about Smarug Brotherhood. Their organization actually did exist near the town of Serenush. And 50 years ago, soon after the migration of peoples, they also migrated and settled in the valley of Isrimin, 3 days' journey from Nivus. Then the letter went on about other matters. What struck the archaeologist most was the word Sarmung, which is S-A-R-M-O-U-N-G, which they had come across in a book called Merkavat. This word is the name of a famous esoteric school, which according to tradition was founded in Babylonia as far back as 5,000 years ago, and which was known to have existed somewhere in Mesopotamia up to the 6th century or 7th century AD. And about this further existence, one could obtain anywhere the least information. This school was said to have possessed great knowledge containing the keys to many secret mysteries. Anyhow, was after this guy, his discovery, nearly 135 years ago, it could not have been confirmed until the excavation works of 1915. Years later, an Italian excavation team confirmed that there was a monastery there and everything else that they talked about. It is really just this amazing thing. And here you go, completely forgotten. Mm-hmm. It's just forgotten. And that was, you know, that existed much more recently than, say, something that was, say, 10, 12, 13, 15,000 years ago.
Yeah.
This is only 5,000 years ago, part of our continuous history. But, wow, yeah, the ruins are absolutely amazing. It's just tremendous stuff. And, you know, there are all sorts of these places. There's a place called Kish Island, which is part of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the Persian Gulf. It's right off the coast of Iran in the Persian Gulf. And see, those people, I think, were there like 1,000 years ago. The ruins are absolutely breathtaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It was built. They had an underground.
A lot of work into whatever they did.
They even had an underground aqueduct.
Yeah.
And what's weird is, even though it's not really known, it wasn't known to me, it's absolutely stunning, and it gets about 1 million tourists a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how many people go to Iran for as a tourist.
Well, there used
to
be more of them than
the, Oh, yeah. It used to be way more. But...
used to be. When I was younger, people went to Iran.
Yeah.
But you kind of have to be careful going over there right now.
Not
the safest place to go, but some of these places, there was this one place, let me see here, and it was Shavandi, I think it's Huantar, H-U-A-N, Huantar, and it was a complex that was an underground network, 300,000 square feet. And aligned to cardinal points.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of engraved obelisks that were at least 30 feet long. And a network of cut rock tunnels. And, I mean, when you look at these tunnels inside, it looks like they could have been built a few years ago. And these are like at least, you know, these people were down there 1,000 years ago, maybe much longer than that, but they used to go down and use those. And then there's El Castillo, and that's dated back to 800 BC in the Chavin culture.
Where was this? Do you know?
Let me see. I would imagine it was the same place as this other one was, because they were all kind of in the same thing that I was studying.
What was that, in Mexico?
Yeah, it might have been associated with Mexico. I don't think it was Spain.
I think it's associated with Chichen Itza.
Yeah, it would have been like in the Mexico area, because it's a Spanish. It's a Spanish, name for cat.
Yeah, it is. I got it. Yeah. It has to do with that pyramid, Chichen Itza.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the underground area related to it.
But, I mean, when you get looking at these things. There was a big article written up by the New York Times. And it was called 12,000 Years Ago, Humans and Climate Change Made a Deadly Team. And it talks about what went on and how we're so close to what went on back then, 12,000 years ago. And once again, I mean, that 12,000 keeps coming up for each one of these places.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they were down and used these underground areas for at least 1,000 years, and sometimes even longer.
Oh, yeah. And it's real weird.
So, I mean... Holy, the one off Italy, which was like down off near the Amalfi Coast, and it's in it's a big stone cliff that sticks out there, and the people, I mean, that had been in use before, during other wars, ancient wars, and the people knew that it was there, so when World War II happened, with bombings and everything else going on in Italy, they went there and they just took their families, which they literally had to hang off of ropes and stuff to get into them.
Mm-hmm.
And they took their families and whatever they had, food and necessities, and they stayed in there. And they just stayed underground until the war ended. Then they came out.
Mm.
And, I mean, that wasn't that long ago. But it saved those people. So, I mean, whatever these people originally did to create this, it was still, a benefit to the people who needed it. It didn't matter what time it was. They got rescued either way. But they did go and stay in there. And I remember looking at those, what they used to call the apartments of these Italian caves. And basically, they had just gone through there, and it must have taken them for a long time to dig these out. But they weren't rough inside at all. They were dug out. There were squared off rooms to the side, you know, that would step out. You'd be in the hallway. You could walk up and down the different hallways. It had those big ventilation shafts that went up inside of it. They had ways to get water. Mm-hmm. So they had inside wells so the people could just go and remove the lid and get water out of this well. I mean, it was amazing. And the reason why I thought it was so amazing was it was supposed to be done by primitive people. I dare us to make them today.
I agree with you.
We were just going in chiseling them out with a chisel and a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it would take us a lot longer because everybody would be belly aching if we weren't using some big bore thing to drive through. But in the long run, it would be, I think it would take us a lot longer than it probably took them because, I mean, they used to just build things that were massive. And then to go through these tunnels, and these were all different levels. They weren't just one big level underneath those big heavy stones, it was cliffs, really.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you could go down, like, some stairs, and you'd be at a lower level. And they had doorways that went right out. If you stepped out too far, of course, you stepped into the sea there, but other than that, no. I mean, they were safe.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting is that as I continue to do work on that in the Bosnian pyramid complex, they're so ancient, and because it's not a dry area like, say, Egypt, it has gotten overgrown with vegetation, and people just thought those were mountains.
Yeah.
They believe they have definitively proved that those are actually man-made structures.
Mm-hmm.
And they're much bigger than the pyramids of Egypt, and they're 33,000 years old.
Yeah.
So again, evidence.
Didn't they decide that the ones of Egypt are much older than they originally thought?
At least the sphinxes. And sure, I believe that's also the case, especially not the crappy ones, but on the Giza Plateau, you know, Cheops and Corfu and all that other stuff. Those things were made, who knows who made those.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not really Egyptian pharaohs. No possible way. They were so big, they couldn't have been built in a lifetime. We know this.
Yeah.
We know this. This is just, who knows who made those things. And unlike most pyramids, those were not really burial chambers at all.
No, that was like a second thought afterwards.
Yeah.
We can put some bodies in here and, you know.
And there was nothing ornate, like most of them have, like, say, the pharaoh or the queen or whatever was buried there, and then they'd have all these riches and the mummies and all that. That was not found at the Great Pyramid. There's no hieroglyphics in the Great Pyramid. And, in fact, we know that the British Museum did a cover-up because there was wood found there. And if you have wood, you can radiocarbon date it. And it was just much too old. So conveniently, they claim to have lost the wood.
Just like they lost the skeletons of the giants.
Oh, sure.
How do you lose a bone
thigh
bone that's as tall as a man?
What's really interesting is that, you know, you've got Easter Island, and it's known for those heads, right?
Yeah.
Well, in Turkey, there are heads, you know, they're not exactly the same, but again, they're these giant things. And where's the rest of the body? You know, it's just these heads and sometimes with neck, and they have these elongated caps on, all associated with apparently around Göbekli Tepe.
Mm-hmm.
What's fascinating was one of the underground, you know, I just went to Google and put it in there as a search, and one of them I had clicked on because there was a picture, and it looked like, I was like, oh, is that a Viking? No, it was that place, Kish Island, Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, Judith, these heads that are in Turkey and the, you know, very arid part of Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
They look more like Vikings to me. You know, if somebody just flashed a picture of it, I said, what does that look like? You know, the beards and the...
Yeah.
They don't look Middle Eastern, you know.
Usually native things, they didn't have beards and stuff.
No. They look like Caucasians with heavy beards. It was those people that came in with the beards, and that's how they were known, you know, and how different they were when they came to the New World or in other parts. If you notice, it's, you know, especially... Basically, Caucasians of European stock that have these heavy beards, like I have. God, my hair, my whiskers grow real quickly. Anyway,
in Easter Island, on Easter Island, when they just had the head sticking out.
Yeah,
when they dug down underneath them, the whole bodies are under there.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
So they have the entire statues. But only the heads are sticking out.
Right.
So what covered them up?
Well, there you go again. Exactly.
It had to have been either a massive storm or something, but somebody covered them up. Something did.
Mm-hmm. And
they dug them up just for the heck of it, see what was below them.
And
they're entire. The entire body is under there.
That is very true. And I still don't buy the theory about how people got to Easter Island. You know, these Polynesians getting on making these little rafts and off they go. And, they found it. Easter Island is so remote.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Easter Island considered the most remote area of the world?
Yeah, it is.
It's the furthest from any other body of land, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I just think that we had advanced humans with advanced technology. It may not have looked like an F-16 or something, but we know that they were flying around in the sky.
Oh, well, yeah.
They were able to do all sorts of things.
That's part of ancient, even ancient Chinese history and their books. They talk about, you know, the Vimanas and stuff that people used to just... they could just hop on those and take off and then come back, you know, in the evening and...
Yep, King Solomon supposedly
all over the place.
King Solomon went from Africa or North. It's actually literally the continent of Northern Africa, northern part of Africa, to Tibet, on what they call the magic carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, it wasn't a magic carpet, but it was some vehicle that he could.
That flew. Absolutely. Because they even talk about him in the Bible.
Yes,
that
they do.
People could actually fly, and that they had these things above ground that they could just fly around on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, how ancient a book do you need? But it just gets really fascinating. And if you guys really want to see something that is, some of these things are just gorgeous. And look at them and realize these were done by what we thought were primitive people, but they seem to have all known at the same time that something drastic was going to happen. They needed to go underground. They didn't just make those things overnight.
Correct.
It took a long time to create these things. So anyway, take a look at them and see what you think. So anyway, that's the end of our show.
Thank you so much, Judy.
All right. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to The Unknown Zone. And we come to you every week with something new and unusual about our planet and our species. This is a wacky world and not what we're told. For Judy Sullins, I'm Dave Turco. And until next time, enjoy.